The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and I think the guys before us were stealing our signs. Oh, well, let's get to it. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, Chocolate Braveheart, a.k.a. A.J. Hoffman. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. It's his chance to participate, so help him out. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. And if you wish, you can watch us on the Twitch channel and put your comments in the chat room. See our smiling faces, and you know, if you're into that, you can also see the Bourbon Bean BBH Hellfighter that AJ brought me. Thank you. That's on the Twitch channel. You can see that. And it's Wednesday, where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a good show, Hoffman.
Percent 1,000. I'm feeling good today, man.
Really?
Feeling good.
That is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am too. I'm ready to rock and roll. Ready to have some fun today. I'm in a fantastic mood for a lot of reasons. We've been, it's been a long day at work, but a good, productive day. I just want to take a second to thank all the people for a record month on Sports Map, and it's only November 13th.
Hey now.
We have crossed the 2 million page views threshold, which was my goal for October. We came up a little short, but we still had a record month. We've already passed that in 13 days.
Man, look at you.
So thanks to everybody who has clicked on the website. Please keep clicking on it.
You've become very famous, friend.
Well, it's not me. I must tell you. It's not me. It's a team effort.
I must tell you.
It's a Roundtable Videos, which I think you were on one of the ones that did really well.
I doubt it.
But no, it's the video content. It's the written content. And, you know, just can't thank you guys enough for checking it out every day. Please keep doing it. Keep telling your friends about it like you do the show. I want to build this thing up to where it is a monster. And then I can lay it down.
There you go.
Lays down a monster. So what's happening? What do you got?
Sports, stuff like that. I don't know how much more needs to be said about the Astros thing. I will, before we get off it completely, I wanted to tell you something that happened yesterday.
Okay.
That kind of bummed me out.
All right.
Because yesterday we kind of joked around about it. And, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world one way or the other. It's not a huge deal.
No, it's not. I think the media is going to make it a bigger deal than what it is. But, okay.
But I will say, I took my, and this is maybe sort of a loss of innocence moment, which is kind of what makes it sad, but I took my son to a hitting lesson last night, and on the way home, we were listening and hearing talk about the Astros, and,
you know, listened to Patrick Creighton?
No, it was a national show at that point. I don't even know what it was.
Because I know he spent a lot of time on it while I was driving home.
It was on whatever channel, because I listened to the Memphis-Oregon game.
Yeah.
So whatever channel on Sirius Memphis-Oregon was played on eventually started playing this show. And he just starts asking some questions. He's like, did they all know that the cheating was happening? And I said, yeah. I mean, he said, are they the only team that does it? I said, no. I said, I'm sure there's other teams that have done it. They're just the ones that have been kind of called on the carpet for it. And he's like, were all the players doing it? And I said, that's what it sounds like.
Looks like it, yeah.
And he said, this is where it got sad. He's like, even Altuve? And I was like, oh, man, the way he said it, like, it's almost like the moment when they figure out that Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
It's like a, oh.
Santa Claus isn't real?
I mean, yeah, he is. But I'm saying there's some parents who lie to their kids and say Santa's not real because they don't want to, you know.
Yeah, and that's.
They like to keep their kids' presents and sell them on the aftermarket. So when the, kids are the presents. The parents.
Oh, okay.
The kids wake up and, you know, Santa's left a haul and those parents stockpile it in the trunk of the car and then go resell it.
That's not very cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like that when he was like, even Altuve? And I was like, yeah, I think even Altuve. And he said, Dad, I don't know if I like the Astros anymore. And he was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be a fan of the Astros now. And he's like, I've got all these shirts and these hats. He's like, I don't know if I want to wear them anymore. And mind you, he's 12.
Right, but that's...
So he's like a...
But that's your most influential age as a sports fan.
It's super pure to him right now. And this kid lives and breathes baseball. I mean, it's essentially all he cares about. I mean, I'm pretty sure the only reason he gets good grades is so he can play baseball, because he knows if he doesn't have good grades, he's not playing baseball. It's his focus.
Yeah.
And he loves it. And he loves the Astros. And he was so disappointed to hear this that it actually made me go, damn it, Astros. Like, it's no, again, yesterday it was like a throwaway thing, whatever. It's something that most teams do. The Astros are just dumb enough to get caught. But when it came to me from the mouth of a 12-year-old that he was like really bummed out by this and didn't know how to feel about it, I was like, oh man, that made it way worse. And of course, some silver lining, he was like, at least Verlander didn't do it. And I was like, no, I said, he might have done it. I said, but Justin Verlander's never batted once at Minute Maid. And that's where it was supposedly happening. So
there you go. That's good. That's a good explanation.
I said, yeah, no, Justin Verlander definitely didn't steal signs. So he at least was like, okay, well, at least I've got that. But I mean, just the tone of his voice when he said, even Altuve? It was like, oh man, it was just brutal.
See, and that's kind of what gets lost in all this stuff is, I mean, that's your most influential age as a sports fan. Yeah. We always talk about the player who was the best in the league when you were 12 years old. That's the one you're always going to think is the greatest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the argument when we always have when arguing this player over that player.
Yeah, it's Ricky Henderson.
maybe not. But
I mean, I know for you, it's like,
stop.
Cy Young. No one's ever going to be better.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth was the best I ever saw.
You never saw Four Finger Lefty. That's what you never saw. Christy Mathewson.
Satchel Paige.
He was a whirling dervish.
Anybody who played for the Dodgers, as Patrick Creighton would say. But that's the thing that kind of gets lost, is because these guys have been... You know, they won a World Series here. That makes them heroes. And it's funny because, well, I wrote the Deshaun Watson thing this morning, and we'll talk about that later, but I decided that I probably should write something about this whole controversy. And my question is, at what point does all that goodwill you've built up from the World Series, when does that go away? I mean, how many things do you have to do? And obviously for him, there you go. That's it.
I mean, imagine this was done in a town where winning was just regular. Like, it was just an everyday thing.
Well, we have a precedent for that. It's called the Patriots.
Right. I don't know. I guess you're right. Maybe people just don't care because people still love the Patriots.
Well,
the Patriots,
I mean, that's the thing, that adults aren't going to care.
Right.
But, I mean, and everybody, what you're trying to do is you want your kids to grow up Astros fans. You want them to love the team. You know, that they're also, I mean, this is where they're most impressionable. And Donny says Barry Bonds for me when I was 12. Yeah, Barry Bonds for me and I wasn't 12, just so you know.
Yeah.
he's still the best I've ever seen. Christina says she's sad now, but that's the truth. I mean, it sucks. And yeah, I went through, and I just want to do this real quick and then we'll be done with this. But
he said, well, in the bullpen too, right? And I didn't even have the heart to tell him about Osuna. Like, the I mean, he's probably heard hints of it on broadcasts.
Yeah.
Particularly like the national broadcast. But when he's watching Root Sports, they're not talking about that stuff.
No, of course not.
But I'm sure he's like heard mention of it and been like, wonder what they're talking about. But he's never asked me. I damn sure wasn't going to, you know, drop that hammer on him.
Yeah,
last
you
night,
do that
dude.
Now and that's it. He's Yankees fan for life.
Yeah.
But I went through every single incident that's happened since the World Series. And
since they won the World Series?
Well,
or since they lost the World Series?
Since they won the World Series in 2017. Okay. And you tell me how serious it is. And basically I kind of did the fan response to it, which almost all of them, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. My question is, when does it become a big deal? So I'll start with the first one was the trade for Osuna. That to me, that was where things started to change. He just served a 75-game suspension. You and I were pretty critical. A lot of people just said, oh, well,
yeah,
nobody knows what happened. He got cleared by the court. The Astros did their due diligence. Everybody deserves a second chance. That's what you say, right?
Yeah.
To me, that was a bad one. Then there was the Tyler Trevor Bauer thing, and you know that one, I don't care about that. Yeah. Then the first time they were accused of stealing signs was the 2018 ALCS against the Red Sox. They got cleared.
Oh, not the one where they had the guy in the camera well?
No, it was the guy, but the MLB cleared him on that.
Okay.
But, you know, iffy at this point, right?
It's definitely questionable. Think something like that happens, you're like, okay.
Maybe we ought to let's tighten it up a little bit. Yeah. No, we'll find other ways to get away with it. The Verlander reporter thing, which I thought was really poorly handled by the Astros. And then you made an enemy out of the media, which is never a good sign. Never a good idea because now they're going to pile on with everything.
I thought that was a bad look. But I also kind of felt like Verlander is the one guy who's got enough. Well, Verlander and or Altuve, I'll put him in the same category.
It really wasn't Verlander, though. It was Astros PR.
The way the
PR.
Astros handled it.
And,
yeah.
And that's where the problem was. And yeah, if Verlander didn't want to talk to the guy, he could have just not talked to the guy.
Right.
The whistle-
But I felt like there's a couple guys who have enough equity that they can get away with, you know, saying, you know what, I'm not going to
talk
to this
guy. Yeah, but the team can't. You can't violate Major League Baseball rules and say you can't come in because this guy doesn't like you. The stupid whistling thing, which I thought was a zero.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The assistant GM thing.
That's a bad look.
That's a bad look.
And not only, I mean, obviously it was a bad look what Taubman did. It was also a bad look that the Astros immediately shot out at the reporters.
And
I guess
it was his release that said, oh, she's lying. It turns out he was lying.
Right.
And again, that was not, to me...
But they fired him damn near immediately.
They did.
So it's
it got made a bigger deal of than it needed to be because of the timing of it, and you know, to the implication that he was supporting domestic violence a little much.
Yeah.
To me. Having said that, bad look, right?
Yes.
And here's one that this one bothered me more the more I thought about it, and I think it bothered you too. Forcing the Ryans out.
Yeah. Although I think that has little impact on baseball ops.
It does, but again, all this is pretty much, you know, perception off the field, right?
Yes.
And then finally the Mike Fiers report. And listen, I said it yesterday, Fiers is a rat. And if you've ever watched a mob movie, a rat is the worst guy. And I thought, you know, Carlos Beltran came out and said, yeah, we were doing it from second base. He basically defended them. He's a stand-up guy. He's a made guy. Mike Fiers is a rat. Having said all that.
Now, also keep in mind, if Carlos Beltran's a guy who's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. He was one of the hitters.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually got something to lose from it. Mike Fiers, he was never hitting. He didn't care. It's not his problem. His stats aren't inflated because of it.
Well, you're not going to trust a low-level mob guy over a made guy, okay?
That's fair.
So, yeah, he's a rat. But we're going to obviously believe him here.
Fiers?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say.
I mean, it's chicken bleep that he did it, but...
It doesn't make it right that he snitched, but...
Yeah. But having said all that, I don't think it matters. I mean, cheating is part of baseball's culture. I have a whole segment on that in the story. I mean, that's what baseball's been forever. You've got spitballers in the Hall of Fame. You've had cork bats. You've had everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just part of the game. And... Do I think it mattered? Does it taint the World Series? No, but it's going to become one of those stupid media-driven stories like Deflategate and everything else that's going to get overblown. Yeah, they did it. Take your slap on the wrist, whatever they fine you, and move on. But that's not going to happen because, oh, they're cheaters. But at some point, when you look at the organization, you know, and I kind of compared it to, you know, you're in a relationship, you get the best time of your life, then all the rumors start about that person's cheating, and you kind of ignore them because, oh, everything's going great, everything's going great. At what point do you have to say, maybe this isn't so great?
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about the Astros. And I don't know that I'm there yet. I'm sorry that your son is, but I get it. And when you throw in all the other stuff, the Yuli Gurriel thing from the World Series, the fact that Bregman is absolutely hated by everybody who's not an Astros fan, same thing with Reddick. You add it all up and you're like, am I rooting for Darth Vader here?
Yeah.
Kind of feel like it.
Kevin said, damn, AJ, you couldn't have just told your son it's still under investigation and I'll let you know when it's over and let you know what comes out. How could you let this quote-unquote news break your kid's heart like that? Kevin, be realistic, man. You know.
And 12-year-olds aren't like when I was... 12-year-olds now are like 15 or 16-year-olds. Yeah. They know what's going on.
I mean, all it'll take is the kid going home and watching SportsCenter or Googling...
Or talking to his friends.
Yeah. And trust me, the kids on his team, all they do is talk about baseball. They're going to talk about it, and they all know. Don't be... I mean, he's not naive enough to not believe or to think it's fake news.
Yeah, if you're 7 or 8, it's one thing. But yeah. At that age, yeah. All right, guys, I have to tell you, the holidays are coming, and maybe you've been thinking about, I need to save some money. Well, here's something that maybe you haven't thought of. You can consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream. And Lightstream, they're so cool. They believe that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. That's exactly what they deliver. How about this? A rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's much lower than the national average interest rate, which is over 20%. I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but I know it's more than 5.95%. Plus, your rate is fixed, so as rates go up, your rate won't budge. No fees. You can even get the money as soon as the day you apply. Just for the Blitzers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount on top of that. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information. That's Lightstream.com/Fred.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Couple things. Sean TX on the Twitch channel says, Fred, aren't you the one that was rooting for the Night King? Yeah, absolutely. But did the Night King steal signs? Was the Night King racist?
No,
he was equal, right? Everybody who died, they were his.
It's true.
And what did he really do wrong? He was just hanging out up there north of the wall.
I mean, he did kill some people and some dragons.
Well, no, he liberated them.
No, yeah. That's still killing.
It depends. They were alive after that. They had nice blue eyes. They were much more attractive.
Paler skin, though.
Yeah, but that's okay. You have to. Yeah. There's trade-offs.
Like, becoming undead isn't really like a
You know what else he didn't do? He didn't chase off Nolan Ryan.
That's true.
Yeah, he didn't kick reporters out of the clubhouse.
Nope.
He didn't scream at reporters in the clubhouse. In fact, he never said a word.
Yeah, I honestly didn't care until talking to my son about it yesterday. Then I was like, oh man, that sucks. So I don't know. I don't want to tell him. Yeah, you know what? Don't be a fan. Okay.
No, but that you gotta. I mean, that's one of the things that he's smart enough at this age now that you have to have. You know, you have to have those conversations. So, White Walkers hit the trash can at the wrong time on that one. Thank you. No. Hockley Dan says, nice to see that you have multiple purple shirts for it. I know it looks purple on the...
it's blue.
It's a light blue shirt. I don't know why it looks purple on the broadcast.
It's like a baby blue. Like Carolina blue.
Yeah, almost Oiler blue.
You didn't wear Kentucky blue today, I noticed.
No. God. Yeah, before we left, you were telling me, wow, Kentucky's down at halftime. I'm like, yeah, they're never going to lose.
Oh, boy.
Boy, that's... As regular season upsets go... That's up there, right? I mean, because this is not like Evansville's a good team.
No. I'm a little bit mad at myself because I had a big card yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is why I left Evansville plus 24.5 off my card.
Oof. Oof.
And it would have made me look like a genius.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, I would have been the last person to tell you that that was going to happen. There was zero chance I would have said that's going to happen.
You gave some winners to the people last night.
I did.
And I gave them a hockey over.
Yeah, but it would have been nice to say, oh, yeah, I saw that coming.
Yeah. No way.
No.
Tonight's play, not as strong as last night's. Toronto, New York, over 6. Islanders, Toronto, over 6.
Okay.
So, the Islanders don't give up a lot of goals, but I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to play at the Leafs' pace, and they're going to win it 5-4. So...
Evansville was picked 8th out of 10 in the Missouri Valley Conference, which is a good conference, but still.
But are they better than that, or?
Probably not. I don't have my full power ranking. They're in my office, but I would say they're probably around that 7-8 range.
Okay.
I mean, that's obviously a great win. Bumps them up some, I'm sure, but. Yeah, they were a 500 team last year.
Texter asked if I watched the U of H game. I know you can't gauge how good they are from this game, but what are the odds they win the conference? Yeah,
they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, they did. I may have been the only person on the planet that watched that game almost start to finish. And I still think Memphis is the team to beat in the conference, but you can't. It's really hard to replace guys like Davis and Brooks and Robinson and all the experience they had. I think this team's got more talent, but because you take Grimes and Hinton and Giroux, those three guys alone are pretty good. And I do think once they figure things out, they've got a chance to be really good. But it's the first game, and you can't tell anything from Alabama State.
If Wiseman is allowed to play all year, if they've got their full cast of characters, I like Memphis slightly more than UH, but. Not much. I mean, I think they're 1-1A in that conference. I think Cincinnati is
new coach, but they still have their best player.
And I think Wichita is going to be, I don't know if they're going to be back, but they're going to be back to being pretty competitive. So
I think they are going to be back. I mean, they, over the second half of the year last year, they were really good. They got to the semifinal or quarterfinals of the NIT, maybe the semis. I don't remember. Yeah. But I think those four teams are all going to be pretty darn good. And Memphis is just so talented, but I like what I saw. I think there's so much to clean up, and I guarantee you Kelvin Sampson was not happy with a 28-point win because there's some things defensively they did better in the second half, but there's some things that worked that aren't going to work against good teams. And I'm more interested in what happens against BYU Friday. I think that's at least a little closer to what they are.
Yeah.
But I'm really encouraged by the talent they have. It's just a matter of putting it together, and that's and so it's hard to judge from one game, but I like they got a lot of talent and they got a lot of depth. They've just got to figure out what Kelvin Sampson wants, and if they do that, they're gonna
be fine. That's the other, I mean, it helps that they're way ahead of the curve in coaching.
And that's the thing. These kids, all of his teams, they get better as the season goes on because he coaches them up. And Grimes, I think by the end of the year is going to be a monster. He's physically so gifted, and there's just little stuff that he did, like going up between three guys to get a loose ball where he just out jumps everybody, and you're like, wow. I mean, that talk about athleticism. But there's a lot, there's a lot they need to work on, but for game one, it's a win.
All right, I got to tell you about My Computer Career. That's a win also. If you are in a job that is not a win, maybe you're not making enough money, maybe you hate your boss, maybe you're tired of the long hours. I don't know what's going on at your job, but if it sucks – you can do something about it. My Computer Career will make sure of that. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. And you might be saying, but AJ, I don't have any computer experience or training or anything like that. They don't care. Guess what? Helping people start from scratch, that's what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and that's going to give you everything you need to start your new career. And then they're going to help you get hired after you graduate because they work with employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes are starting up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer.edu. I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, just want to remind you, tomorrow we will be out at Whitmire's. Come on out. During the show, you'll get a chance to help us pick. We're going to do a barrel select, and then you'll be able to buy it right there.
Nice.
By the end of the show. It's going to be that cool. So we'll do that, and then Friday, Reds in Beaumont. And Beaumont, need to raise your game. Last time, didn't do as well as we'd like. So
last time was on a Thursday. Let's give them some
I know, but, wiggle room here. You know, I mean, we just need to raise the game a little bit. It's like use it or lose it. So Mott says, I believe Houston fans are more sad they're not beloved by the national media. Well, they've kind of earned the hatred, man.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think, you know, to me, that doesn't matter. It's what do you think? But even the most hardcore Astros fan has to start questioning this stuff a little bit, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, yeah. And then just, you know, just for clarification purposes, I like the over on the Islanders. Game, I bet it goes against my numbers. I think the pace is going to be faster than what my numbers say, but this is like a 3-star game. Last night was a 5-star. Love that one. This one I like a lot. I'm playing it, not for as much as I did last night. So I want to make that clear before everybody starts saying, oh well, should I bet as much as I did last night? No, that one was 11-3 now, so we'll see if we can keep it going.
Yeah.
Hey, some Texans news. I'm kind of curious what you think about this, because I think it's one of those low-risk, medium-reward moves that they claimed Vernon Hargreave off waiver, Great Greaves off waivers from the Bucks.
Okay.
Hasn't been very good. 11th overall pick in 2016. He's only 24 years old. He got cut because of a lack of hustle, which makes me wonder how he's going to fit in with Bill O'Brien. So if you're not hustling in practice, and you're not hustling the game, you're probably not hustling in practice. But, you know, I'm kind of curious what you think.
I don't know. I think anybody you're signing at this point who's, like, thrown away by teams is probably going to be a minimal impact guy, right?
Yeah, it depends on how you use him. I think they cut their BBC to make room, which is a little sad because our friends across the dial won't be able to refer to BBC anymore.
It's too bad.
But,
I mean, luckily the Texans, they're super deep in the secondary, so.
Well, I mean, to me, it's one of those, why not bring him in? And if you can figure out a way to use him, you know, the guy obviously had talent. He was pretty high thought of. He just hasn't played very well. Maybe in this system he does better. Maybe he doesn't. And if he doesn't, what have you really lost? Just one BBC.
I guess that's it.
And if he winds up being okay, now you've got another option that you can use. And, you know, to me, it's like, you know, at least Conley had to give something up for, and I think, you know, he's been okay. But if you get Roby back, and you've got Roby and Conley and get Johnson back, and if Hargreaves can be anything, you don't have to put Jonathan Joseph out there.
Right.
Which no one wants to see Jonathan Joseph. But, yeah, sometimes change of scenery helps a guy.
Yeah.
And as far as practice today, limited is your guys, Laremy Tunsil, Bradley Roby, Titus Howard, Gibson, Will Fuller, Dylan Cole, all limited participation.
But everybody practiced.
Yeah, just limited.
So, I mean, that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Tunsil and Howard are going to play. I'm sure Dylan Cole will play. Gibson, I still don't know about. Roby, I don't know about.
Those are the important ones. I mean, Tunsil's obviously the most important.
You'd like to have Bradley Roby out there, but especially somebody's got to be fast enough to guard Hollywood Brown.
And I think that Gibson's important because the Texans the Andrews and Hurst, I mean, they're going to throw multiple tight ends out there, and he's been sort of the guy that can slow them down. Otherwise, Andrews will have a day.
When he's been out there, he's done a good job on tight ends, and he's done that. That's one of the reasons they brought him in. It'd be nice to have. If you get him and Roby back, I think you at least have a fighting chance back there. If you don't, then they're going to put up some yards. I mean, they're going to put up points anyway. I think this is going to be one of those where if the Texans want to win, they're going to have to outscore them. And, you know, but you need all those guys back there to just, if you can just limit them a little bit and get it down to a one possession game.
Yeah.
See what happens. So.
Boy, what? I mean, if the Bucs are waving Hargreaves. Think about what have we been when we've been handicapping the Bucs every week. We're like, they are one of the worst secondaries. They're awful against the pass. He started 9 games for them.
Well, he was their number one corner to start the season.
Like, what's gonna happen? Like, how bad can are they gonna get worse?
Well, I mean, if he goes, well, can he be worse than Jonathan Joseph?
I don't know. Well,
but I mean, again, I don't anticipate you're throwing the guy out there week one. I think you're bringing him into your system, seeing what he can do. Maybe he fits in the slot as opposed to being outside. Yeah, that's why you bring a guy in to say, okay, maybe we're gonna use him differently. Does it work?
Yeah.
And yeah, they've been pretty good at getting guys and having them come in and, you know, finding a place for him. And maybe that's what happens. If not, what have you lost?
Yeah, I mean, not much. And he's also a guy who I wouldn't expect to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I
can almost guarantee you now that he's a Texan, his hamstring's going to blow up.
Well, he played one game in 2018, 9 games in 2017. So you missed 22 games over the last 2 years.
But he's been healthy all year this year. Just
so
hasn't
far.
Been any good. Yeah. But... Well, I mean, he's a Texan now, so you can just assume his hamstring's gone.
All right.
It's going to happen.
What the guy that – if the one guy on that list of guys who you were saying – and we talked about this on the Sports Map video, who can you afford to sit some guys out and try to keep them healthy for the Colts game, which I don't think you can.
No, you can't afford to do
that. If guys are healthy, you need them out there on the field.
And you just had a week off, so.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the healthiest your team will be all season is the week after the bye, right?
You would think.
So I think if they can play, you've got to have them out there. The one exception I can even consider thinking of is Will Fuller. You know, you could probably get away without having him out there if he's not 100%.
When is he ever 100%?
I
like Kenny Stills better anyway. So, and just other good news, Lonnie Johnson is out of the concussion protocol. He's off the injury report, so he will play.
Okay.
So that's a guy you need. So that's a good one. But, yeah, I mean, to me, to me, Will Fuller's not even on this team. I don't even think of him as a member of the team. He's just not there enough. And, yeah, he shows up. You know what? He's like the dad who never does anything with his kids. He just shows up with a bunch of gifts once every couple of months and then disappears. That's Will Fuller.
Yeah.
The bad dad. He's going to show up and give the kids a bunch of gifts, and everybody's going to be, oh, what a great dad, and then you never hear from him again.
Yeah.
So, and I wish that wasn't the case. I wish the guy could stay healthy. So, he says Hargreaves is a slot cornerback. He excels in that position. I don't know if he excels.
Excels?
I think he sucks less than he does outside. He also says, I think with a change of scenery and a little motivation, getting out of Tampa Bay should be better. Well, that's what you're hoping for.
Right.
So,
but I mean, basically, if you were saying, okay, he was, I don't know if he was a top 10 pick. He was right around.
He
the
was
top
11.
10.
Yeah.
Okay, 11th pick.
So he was a top 11 pick.
That's a bust. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Hargraves has been he's a bust. And if he weren't drafted in the first round, he's probably not in the league anymore. But because he was drafted number 11 overall, teams will give him another chance. And you know, maybe he'll make something of it, but he's not been good.
No, he hasn't, but that's why he was available.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to be available if he'd come out there and played well and played like a number one cornerback. And, that defense is so bad, it's kind of like, well, you're going to make him your number one cornerback?
Yeah.
And, okay, good luck. But the reality is maybe you put him in the slot, maybe he plays better. You're happy with him.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you need bodies back there. And I don't mind gambling like this. Because if you do get something out of him, it's a bonus. If you don't, well, okay. What were you getting out of Brian Body Calhoun other than BBC jokes?
Right.
All right, guys, tomorrow is the day. 4 to 7, Whitmire's Distilling. 16711 Hollister Street. Put it in your GPS. And be out there tomorrow, because here's what we're going to do. You're going to get a chance to help us pick which whiskey we're going to have bottled. We're doing a barrel pick. And hopefully you'll enjoy this, and you'll want to take your company out there for a Christmas party and do the same thing, where you can leave with your own Christmas barrel. And they'll bottle it for you right there. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to pick it and then bottle it. Boom. You get to choose. The Blitzers get to choose. So come on out. And if you haven't had a chance yet, go tour the distillery. If you don't want to do it with a group, same thing. You can try all their great products. You know everything's great, the Space City Vodka, all that. How about the new Rye Bourbon Blend? And if you haven't tried this yet, you need to. It's available at Specs all over the city, liquor stores all over the place. It's fantastic. I love it. It's one of my favorite new drinks, and it's their new signature. I think you'll love it. It's a Rye Bourbon Blend. Buy Whitmire's at Specs, other liquor stores. Go to whitmires.com, book your tour. Make sure you come out and see us tomorrow, whitmires.com. Blow the whistle, that's the God ain't talking, we about to ask what we about. You got a son, you play with me, your son.
Then tripping, why you laughing? This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, so when you call, text, tweet, whatever. Put odds on it. I haven't asked... He sent a tweet saying, Eric Reed, Kaepernick's workout feels like a PR stunt by NFL. Do you agree or think it's legit? I'm just going to address this once. I honestly don't care if it's a PR stunt. I don't care about his workout. I think it's one of those things that every time his name comes up, everybody talks about it for 10 minutes. And maybe I'm going to lose my hot take sports radio host card, but until he signs with somebody, I really don't give a rat's ass about Colin Kaepernick.
I'll say this. I do think it's a PR stunt.
Of course it is. And if we talk about it, we're just we're justifying it.
If someone signs him, I'll be glad to talk about it. As of now, I'm looking at Colin Kaepernick as any other retired quarterback who's been out of the league for some time. And let's face it, wasn't playing at his peak when the last time we saw him. I mean, so... what are they going to get out of this guy? I don't really know. Is he the other question is he willing to be a backup quarterback? Or, you know, if that's the case, then is he better than some third string quarterbacks out there? I would imagine yes. Is he willing to take that job?
Is he better than some second string quarterbacks? Probably.
I would imagine
so.
Yes.
But who knows? And, you know, to me, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody wants to talk about it anytime his name comes up, and I'm just not going to fall into that trap. Sorry. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in, especially when there's plenty of other things to get into. So, I don't know if you saw this, but Gus Malzahn, big candidate for the Arkansas job.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's, do you think Auburn, they're already kind of preparing in case he leaves? But he was sort of, he's sort of been on the hot seat. Do you think Auburn's kind of like, okay, well, gosh, we'll miss you, but go ahead.
I mean, I think Gus Malzahn's forever been able to sort of use Arkansas as a leverage play against Auburn and really against everybody he's ever worked for, because it's always been known if he wants the Arkansas job, he could have the Arkansas job.
Yeah. If you're Auburn, don't you, aren't you kind of like, well, maybe this is my chance to get out from under this? I mean, he's done well there, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of ask yourself, what's the level of expectation on him there? I mean, Gus Malzahn has been... He's been pretty good. I mean, he's not had... You know, I guess the first year he went to the championship game and lost. And then,
and you always have to grade on a curve here because you're up against Nick Saban every year. Same thing with A&M and even LSU, which you're always up against Nick Saban. So
12-2, 8-5, 7-6, 8-5, 10-4, 8-5. I mean, I don't know. It's not,
I know he was on the hot seat after the 7-6, and then
yeah.
Yeah, but again, I think the expectations there are pretty high. I think they're like A&M. They think that they can be, you know, in the competition every year.
Well, but the difference between them and A&M is, I mean, they've won a national championship in the last 10 years. It's actually, like, reasonable for them to think that they can compete for championships because...
They're not going to compete for more than one every 10 years, though. Let's be honest. This is Alabama.
They've played for two in the last 10 years.
To me, that's exceeding your expectations.
It is to me, too. Yeah. But so. In the last 10 years, this team has Outback Bowl, BCS Championship, Chick-fil-A Bowl, no bowl. That got Gene Chizik fired. BCS Championship game. Outback Bowl, Birmingham Bowl, that's the 7-6 year. Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, Music City Bowl. I don't know. I feel like that's a really good 10-year run for a program like Auburn. But what you've got is now the 10-year window of when you last won that championship is, you know, it's about to expire. You're not winning one this year.
No,
and you don't look like you're getting closer to winning.
Well, that's
one.
The thing. I mean, I think they were really good this year, but do you feel like they're getting closer to Alabama and Georgia and LSU?
No.
I mean, that's who they want to be, right?
Yeah.
Now, the question is what would he do at Arkansas? Obviously, anybody's better than Chad Morris. But how long do you think it would take him to make that program, say, Mississippi State or Mississippi?
I think he could do that. He's not going to make what Arkansas wants is a championship contending coach, too. Arkansas is also one of these delusional programs that still thinks they are what they were 30 years ago. They're just not. So it's a really awkward spot for everybody.
But you know what, though? It's like A&M, though. They've got tons of money.
Yep.
They can money whip you to death if they want to. And when you have that kind of money, you expect to be up there with everybody else.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work that way. But I find it interesting that his name's popped up again.
I mean, it's completely unsurprising to me because he's an Arkansas guy and he's always been the dream hire for them, I think. So it doesn't shock me in the least that his name came up.
You were talking about the James Wiseman thing earlier, and I read an interesting column on it that what Memphis is doing by taking this to court could eventually be the thing that gets rid of the NCAA doing all the enforcement. Because if you win in court and they overturn the NCAA in this case, because apparently nobody's done this with a player like this before. He just said, you know what, we're gonna get a restraining order, he's going to play, and then we're going to take you to court. And yeah, it makes a really good case that this could be the thing. And I don't know that it's a bad idea to go after the NCAA, but this could change everything. And the NCAA's taken some hits with all these states passing the compensation rules. And now this, if they win that case, be pretty interesting to what happens with the NCAA, because how's that going to stop anybody from going and suing them?
Yeah, it definitely opens up some doors that are like a Pandora's box. And did you see that? Somebody sent us this the story about the guy who the high school coach who told a kid to slide and he broke his leg.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah, we just hadn't had a chance to get there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things like that you're like, that's a crazy. It's crazy that that's even a discussion to be had, but I guess that's where we're at with a lot of things now.
Well, it's funny. If you get a chance, John Oliver this week, his whole thing was about frivolous lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. It's one of the better ones he's done in a long time, and how a lot of people will sue just have no intention of winning, but they just want to tie you up in court and get you to quit going after him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he used a lawsuit against him as an example, and it was freaking hilarious. And I highly recommend it if you get a chance to watch it. But I think some of this is just in this case, I think they really want to get the kid eligible. But I think there are some where they just want to, you know, okay, we just want this out there, and we can afford to do it. So everybody says Arkansas needs a Baytown Badass as their head coach.
Hey, man, I tell you what, man, I'll teach those boys how to slang that rock. That's what I can do. I'll tell you that, man. You want to cover 4, cover 9, I'll teach them how to read it. Cover 9, you got 2 guys over there, 1 over there. I got it all figured out, man. I got you. Bernardo says, is he really an Arkansas guy? I think he is. Yeah, he only played there for a year, but he also coached there, and he coached there. He was an OC under Houston Nutt. Back when it was like Darren McFadden and Felix, like when Arkansas won the SEC West, believe it or not, there was a time in somewhat recent history where Arkansas won the SEC West. Imagine why they're thirsty for a guy that can do something like that. Now, is he going to be able to get Darren McFadden and Felix Jones back there or Mitch Mustaine? I don't know, but that's what they're hoping for, certainly.
803 must be Chad Morris's agent. Chad Morris is a winner. SMU is winning from Chad Morris kids. They're winning because of a Texas transfer that Sonny Dykes got.
Yeah, Chad Morris sucks at coaching. Well,
I don't say that.
He sucks at coaching that level of football. He's a great high school coach who was a good mid-level college coach and was way over his head. In the SEC, you can't tell me a guy who won 0 SEC games in his entire tenure is a good coach.
And the team regressed big time, almost game to game.
Yeah, and it's impossible. Like that team is 4-18 over the last 2 years, 0-14 in the SEC. Oof. Not to mention he was 14-22 at SMU. It's not like he was lighting the world on fire
there.
He
had one good season there. And by the way, Sonny Dykes is a better coach.
Yeah.
Hate to break it to you.
Otherwise, guess what? SMU would be calling him right back. They won't.
No. No. I think they're happy.
My guess is he'll be, he'll be coaching at Lake Travis or someplace like that pretty quick.
Son of Granado. Fred does love himself some liberal cable programming. I don't watch all the... stuff
Fred,
he does about Trump.
Libo.
I like when he does the investigative thing in the middle. It has nothing to do with politics. When he does politics, I turn it off. I don't even mention it. I happen to mention this because you might learn something from it, Son of Granado. I hate when idiots call me liberals.
You're
call me
liberal.
God, I hate that. Sorry. No respect for people who do that.
Sorry.
They don't pay any attention.
Sorry, liberal.
Yeah, well. You cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me deep. You can at least get Coleman milk for your Arkansas team. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. No, okay. I'm going to tell you now about Allstate Siding and Windows, because I don't know about you guys. It was cold last night at my house. And if you are still rolling with some old crummy windows, you could be letting 40% of your energy bill float right out the window, because it's that cold's coming in. Your money's flying out. That's what's happening. For 48 years, Allstate Siding and Windows has helped people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and siding. Get 25% knocked off your window package in November with no payments for 2 years. You can't beat that. Family owned and operated for over 45 years. This is a company that's going to be around. They've been around. You know you can trust them. Military and senior discounts are available. If you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Give them a call today. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com. And you're standing on the edge, face up, cause you're a natural. I've been in heart of stone. You gotta be so cold to make it this world. ESPN 97.5.